Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 ¿Dónde estamos? Okay, it was marked there. With the red marker. The son of Drona punished. Text number 46? Yeah, okay. Okay. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 1, 7, 46. Tat.
Tat.
Therefore.
Therefore.
Okay. Dharmagya.
Dharmagya.
One who is aware of the principles of religion.
One who is aware of the principles of religion.
Mahabhaga.
Mahabhaga.
The most fortunate.
The most fortunate.
Bhavadbihi.
Bhavadbihi.
By your good self.
By your good self.
Yeah. What have you got here? Yeah. Gauravam.
Gauravam.
Glorified.
Glorified.
Kulam.
Kulam.
The family.
The family.
Virajinam.
Virajinam.
That which is painful.
That which is painful.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Na.
Arhati.
Arhati.
Does not deserve.
Does not deserve.
Praptum.
Praptum.
For obtaining,
for obtaining.
Pujam,
pujam,
the worship,
the worship.
Vandyam,
vandyam,
respectable,
respectable.
Abhikshnashaha,
abhikshnashaha,
constantly,
constantly.
Vande nanda brajastriyam padarenum abhikshnashaha yasham hari katodgitam punati bhuvana triyam. Uddhava said that. Vande Nanda Braja Striyam. Translation. Vande Nanda Braja Striyam. Go backwards, Radhika said. Start from the back.
So Vande, I respect, you know, I have obeisances to Nanda Braja Striyam. So Nanda Maharaj and the women of Braj.
No, the ladies of Nanda's Braja.
Ladies of Nanda Braja.
Yeah, he's going to go backwards. Right. Offer my respectful obeisance to the ladies of Nanda Maharaj's kingdom. Vande Nanda Vajastriyam Pada Renum. Pada Renu?
That's what they think.
Yeah, Abhikshna Saha.
Taking it back.
Yeah, constantly here. Abhikshna
Saha.
Yeah, I constantly offer my obeisance to the lotus. Uddhava said this. Uddhava said this. Yeah. Yeah. Yasham, there. Yasham Hari Katod Gitam. Kato. Hari Kata. Udgita.
There's their songs of
Udgita.
Yeah, they're singing Krishna Katha.
Yeah, their loud glorification, loud singing of the glories of Krishna. Yeah, Punati Bhuvana Triam. Bhuvana Triam.
Purifies all the three worlds.
Yeah, purifies the three worlds. Uddhava said, I offer my obeisances repeatedly to the cowherd girls and women of the village of Nanda Maharaj. Their loud chanting of the glories of Hari purifies the three worlds. Abhikshna Saha. Okay. Tadharmagya
Mahabhaga. Tadharmagya
Mahabhaga. Babadbir Gauravam Kulam.
Babadbir Gauravam Kulam.
Virjinam Narhati Praptum.
Virjinam Narhati Praptum.
Pujam Vandyam Abhikshna Saha.
Pujam Vandyam Abhikshna Saha.
Bolyega.
Tadharmagya Mahabhaga.
Tadharmagya Mahabhaga.
Babadbir Gauravam Kulam.
Babadbir Gauravam Kulam.
Virjinam Narhati Praptum.
Virjinam Narhati Praptum.
Pujam Vandyam Abhikshna Saha.
Pujam Vandyam Abhikshna Saha.
Tadharmagya Mahabhaga.
Tadharmagya Mahabhagya.
Bhavadbir Gauravam Kulam.
Bhavadbir Gauravam Kulam.
Vrijinam Narhati Praptum.
Pujam Vandyam Abhikshna Saha.
Tadharmagya Mahabhaga.
Bhavadbir Gauravam Kulam. Vijinam narahi praptum. Pujam vandyam abhikshna saha.
Tadharmagya Tad-dharmagya mahabhaga Bhavabhir gauravam kulam Rujinam narhati praptum Ujjam vandyam adhikshna saha.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O most fortunate one who knows the principles of religion, it is not good for you to cause grief to glorious family members who are always respectable and worshipful. Please repeat. O most fortunate one. Who knows the principles of religion. It is not good for you to cause grief. To glorious family members. Who are always respectable and worshipable. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A slight insult for a respectable family is sufficient to invoke grief. Therefore, a cultured man should always be careful in dealing with worshipful family members. Next text. Marodit asya janani gotami pati devata yataham vritta vatsarta rodiyashu muki mohu. My lord, do not make the wife of Dronacharya cry like me. I am aggrieved for the death of my sons. She need not cry constantly like me. Sympathetic, good lady as she was, Draupadi did not want to put the wife of Dronacharya in the same position of childlessness. Both from the point of motherly feelings and from the respectable position held by the wife of Dronacharya. Yahakopitam brahmakulam rajan rajanyer ajitatmabhi tatkulam pradahati ashu sanubandhan sucharpitam. If the kingly administrative order, being unrestricted to in sense control, offends the Brahmana order and enrages them, and the fire of that rage burns up the whole body of the family, royal family, and brings grief upon all. The Brahmana order of society, or the spiritually advanced caste or community, and the members of such highly elevated families were always held in the great esteem by the other subordinate castes, namely, the kingly administrative order, the mercantile order, and the laborers. Baba Ki. So this is a great instruction. Yeah, the first canto here. I guess why not right away? So, where are we? You there? How many verses in Srimad Bhagavatam? Yeah. We have a DVD. We interviewed for this Bharatiya Sanskriti, our festival in Peru. We did an interview with Radhika Raman, who is now Radhika Raman Grihastha. He got married on 23rd.
I knew I got the invitation.
To a daughter of a Jariwala. Actually, he's a Shoniwala, gold merchant. Nice person. Very nice to go here. His wife didn't, she graduated from high school, started college. She thought, this is stupid, and didn't go on, moving to the temple, you know, Indian girl. And someone was telling Radhika, you're a super, super college educated person. Your wife hasn't even, you know, gone to college, and wasn't that going to cause problems? He said, nope. When I go home, I forget all these things and talk about a simple life. He's more intelligent than I am. So anyway, we interviewed him in Boise. On this question of the validity and antiquity of the Vedas, classical literature, and especially Srimad Bhagavatam. Because some people say that Srimad Bhagavatam was composed by some monk named?
Bhopade.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And when was it composed?
What they say?
Yeah, what they say.
Like the 12th century or something?
Yeah, or even 14th century. Something like that. Yeah. 12th century. So we're talking all about this, incredible. I have it with me here, the CD, and it's really incredible. It came out very nice. We talked about it about 3-4 days before. About finally got a real nice structure for the thing. Tried to find a studio, couldn't find a studio, so we sat down in somebody's living room with two cameras and just recorded the thing. And then in Peru they edited it, and it came out nice. Everyone just was nice, And so maybe sometime we can show it, see it, like that.
We'd like to copy it if we could.
Okay, so it's about a 15-minute about a 40-minute video. Yeah. And the second one we did was then we did the disappearance of Bhishma Dev, because our whole thing is the first two cantos, right? Our program like that, our Padma program. Last year we did prayers by Queen Kunti. As a stage drama, and we recorded that stage drama. And this year we did a movie, you know, focused, not a drama. You know, so it's even better, about six times better. And it's the disappearance of Bhishma Dev, and the guy is using these little pantheistic images from Peru, and you know, heavy. He's a professional director, really good guy, very nice. You know, loves devotees, you know, yogi guy. So you have both of those. You know, maybe we can show them on the Sunday feast, or give you to make copies of today. Yeah, like that. And so then this is all a part of, you know, it's a perspective. Like some of us highly analytical, you know, modern men, you know, uncivilized people like to put everything in the little boxes, and we think, now I know. I got everything cut up in little boxes, now I know what it is, you know. Weizenbaum, he had the first first computer program that thought. It was called ELIZA. It was a psychoanalysis program. It said, hello, what's your name? He said, oh, my name is Akurnov. Hello, Akurnov. How are you? How do you feel? He read something and he'd say, that's interesting. Tell me more about that. You know, and we had enough things like that. It seemed like the thing was alive like that, you know. And actually, you could get a little bit of relief from it, like talking to the machine like that, you know. And, yeah, you'd even pick out, you'd probably find words and tell you, like, you know, well, tell me more about your father. You know. So anyway, he said the same thing. If we can make things into a little machine, we think, oh, now I understand it, you know. So here's my little machine. Okay. 18,000 verses in how long do we want? Usually I do it. I did it three times after I got this order. I did it several times. And two or three times it came out exactly 1 hour and 8 minutes. I stopped at 108. So I figured, okay, this is authorized. So here we are. How many cantos in the Srimad Bhagavatam?
Okay.
Yeah. Now the first two are the lotus feet of Krishna. Three and four is thighs. Five is the belly button. And it goes up to his smiling face, 10th canto, hair on his head. Yeah. But it's very well organized. First two are lotus feet of Krishna. And Prabhupada says in 2.2.12, we shouldn't dare to recite beyond the first two cantos as long as we're still entangled in gross illicit sex. Okay, just stay there. Because it starts getting more and more intense in the higher cantos like that. Okay, she purified, then okay, what happens next? Well, three through nine, is all about the different Manu avatars, right? And along with that, we hear Purusha avatars, Lila avatars, Guna avatars, Shakti-avesha avatars. That's about all there is, like that. Yeah. And so finally, we come to the 10th canto, and Krishna. And Krishna is not an avatar. Krishna is?
Avatari.
Yeah, like that. And after that, there's an epilogue. And it goes back and finishes off the avatar, the manvantaras after Krishna, like that, so on. And then more specifically, within the manvantaras, we find it's divided in three sections. Three through seven is? Yes, Svayambhuva Manu and all of his children. First Manu. And how many children do you have? No.
Two sons and
Deepak.
Close. Dap up.
Diti, Akshati,
Prashati. Ooh. Priyarata, yeah. It's an acronym. Dap up. Kind of like dapper law. Right? Devahuti, Akuti, Prasuti. The Udi sisters. And then Uttanapada and Priyavrata. So you have five children. And we find, then after that is that in Canto 3 is Devahuti, who married?
Kashika.
And his son was?
Kapila.
Yeah, so there's a whole section here about that. Then in Canto 4 is Devahuti, Akuti, one chapter, she married. There's a whole wedding story here. Ruchi. And they had Vishnu and Lakshmi for their children. That's it. And then after that, starting with the second chapter, fourth canto, Devahuti Akuti, and she married
Daksha.
Daksha. And they had a daughter. Yeah, but she burned herself to death before she was even mature enough to have children. Yeah, Sati. Yeah, so she burned herself to death even before she was able to old enough to have children. Wait a second. Maharishi Parikshit says, "What? Tell me more about that. How could the great goddess, you know, burn herself to death, and how could this fight develop? You know, like that, so on." So then there's the whole story of Shiva and Daksha and the sacrifice. Then after that, well, Devahuti, Akuti, Prasuti, Uttanapada, and he's the father of
Dhruva Maharaj.
So I've heard several times Dinabandhu tell the story from the Hindu movie. There's a Hindu movie, this whole thing, you know. And it's there, it's going on, and Dhruva wants to sit on his father's lap, and was it Suruchi? Or Suniti. Suruchi comes in and says, "You can't sit on your father's lap until you take birth from my womb," like that. Down. And so she insults him, respectable family, right? So immediately he's just, you know, so hurt and so angry, you know. But his father doesn't do anything because he's, you know, his wife. So in the Hindi movie, then Dhruva goes off the forest, through austerities, and this kind of stuff, leaves hat home. And after some time, Swayambhu Manu comes with a big beard, you know, Manu, to see his son, Uttanapadu. And he says, "Well, how's the kingdom? How are you running things? You know, the universe. So everything's okay. All the peace systems are peaceful." And he says, "Well, what about Dhruva? Your own son?" And he's become ashamed like that. And then Dinamandu says that the language is very vernacular. And so Swami Brahmana says, "All these problems just for some good-looking chick." It's a very, in a very, the Hindi words he uses are very vernacular like that. And it's all for some good-looking chick, all these problems like that. So what are you going to do? You know, so on. So that's the whole story then. From Dhruva Maharaj, many chapters. But his children, it goes down to what? Is Agni Dara? Nabi, Priyavrata, Prithu. Prithu also appears in this line. So father of Prithu was?
Evil old King Venu.
Yeah. And so then we have the story then of Dhruva, of Prithu Maharaj. He's a Shaktivesh avatar. What's he empowered with?
The ruling potency.
Yeah, to maintain the citizens like that. Indra is also Shaktivesh avatar. What's his potency?
The lusty potency.
Yeah, he's a lusty guy. he's empowered lust. But not gross always. He wasn't very, you know, have good clothes and prestige like that. It's, you know, lust in his mind. So then after Dhruva, then there's Priyavrata, Vena. And then it goes on down to the end of the fourth canto with... Yeah. It's like you know the Bay Area and how to drive every place like that. You just have the same map, you know, Bhagavatam. Know your way around. Because, oh yeah, this is about that, this is about that. This is what's happening here. Every single psychological circumstance you can encounter is here. Every single psychological circumstance in South Africa is here. You see, oh, this is how to deal with this. Come here, let me talk to you. Yeah. Maharaj Prachini. Barishad Barihi. So he was a great, you know, chief executive officer of a big corporation, and he was, you know, spending so much money on research for new drugs to help his people, and but engaging a lot of animal sacrifice, right? They were spraying hairspray into, yeah. So PETA was always bothering him. They were shooting hairspray into animals' eyeballs, but he was convinced because his scientists were telling him this is the right thing to do. This animal, you know. Using always sacrificing always, as you say, right? In science, they say that sacrifice the rabbit for science, like that. They say that. Even still, they call it sacrifice. So then one day, you know, Narada Muni, he's always going around the Bhagavatam, they're causing problems with that, you know. Oh, Narada Muni! It's a great drama, right? Sunday feast. Like, nah, nah, nah. Oh, Narada Muni! Come on in! It's good to see you. He was a very pious person. He was a sadhu, you know. What's your mission? Ramakrishna? No, Hare Krishna mission. Oh, yes, okay, well, come on in. Yeah, I love sadhus. Or it's time for lunch like that. We're having vegetarian food like that, you know. So had a nice lunch, and afterwards, Narada Muni says, "Oh, Maharaj, would you like to hear a story?" Yeah, everyone likes to hear a story after lunch, right? Nice thesis work is to go through the whole Bhagavatam and show how, well, the preaching strategies if nothing else, just by Narada Muni, what to speak of other people like that. Because he adopts so many strategies in different situations. Very seldom does he actually talk directly. You know, he just kind of figures out the situation. And so then Prachini Bharyasha, you know, this guy's not going to listen to me if I talk to him directly. But if you tell him a story after lunch, sure, everyone likes to hear a story after lunch. So he sits there, he starts telling the story about
Paranjana,
the enjoyer of the
city.
The body. And it's a whole analogy. He has a city with how many gates?
Nine.
And what are some of those gates?
The eyes, the mouth, ears.
Yeah. And he goes out to enjoy different things through different gates like that. Then he finds his queen. The queen is the
intelligence.
The intelligence. And he's married to the queen, and she's supplying so many things like that, you know. And sometimes when he neglects her, she becomes upset and falls on the ground and cries and scratches the ground. It goes on like this until finally he's enjoying life, but then he's attacked by the soldiers of
Jara,
Chandravega, like that, and taken to hell like that. And all the animals he engaged in sacrifices come and bite him on the road, and envious old ladies who were tortured by men in their youth come and have been thinking all these years about different kinds of revenge like that. Come and, you know, this is before you get to hell. This is just before we just go into hell, Baba. We haven't got there yet. Yeah. So it's very intense, you know. So finally then, after all this, Maharaj Prachini Bharyasat says, says, Narada, he says, yes, Maharaj, I'm Paranjana, aren't I, Narada? He says, yes, Maharaj. He says, very clever. But I can see what you're saying is true. The scientists who were engaging me in these animal sacrifices are less intelligent. You know, the brahmanas who are engaging these things, they don't know the higher aspects of truth and reality and how to use this world. I've got a really bad future. So he wrote a note, gave it to his ministers. He said, my dear sons, I've left and joined the Hare Krishna temple. It's the only hope for me. When I come back, take over like that. And don't do what I did and be good devotees. Hari Bol. Okay. So who are his sons?
Sons of
Prachini Bharyasat. We're in the line from Dhruva, coming down. Oh. Rhymes with potato chip. Prachetas.
The
Prachetas. Yeah. And they gone off to do austerities to be good grihastas. So do we still do that in our modern civilization? Do boys leave home and go to some place of pilgrimage to do austerities for many years to become good grihastas?
University?
Yeah. Right? Isn't it? It's the same thing. Same story. And if you do austerities there, what do you get? You become a lawyer or engineer or a doctor. And then you can go and, you know, perform yajna and make good income like that. And take care of your nest and your good feathers in your nest and stuff like that, you know, so on. So where were they doing their austerities?
Underwater.
Yeah. And they went off and they met a guru. One guru preached to them. Who was that guru?
Shiva.
Yeah, and gave him a prayer, right? So they did this mantra underwater. And finally came out. And now they're an example of polyandria. We Hare Krishnas believe in polygamy for some people like that. But do we also believe in polyandria?
Draupadi, under certain circumstances.
Yeah, and Draupadi was said, no way you just steer. I don't care what your mama said. I'm going to marry five guys. You marry them. You know. But the Yudhisthira was talking to her, and he finally used this example of the Prachetas, that it wasn't without precedent like that. So then finally she accepted like that. You know. But Prabhupada says, and some girl raised this question, well, if you're presenting polygamy, I can accept that if you also allow polyandria, you know, one girl marries five husbands or something like that, or two husbands, you know. So, you know, in terms of like modern, you know, rational, you know, liberalism, I didn't know what to say, you know. It's like, well, okay, it seems reasonable, you know. So there in this section then, we're finishing the fourth canto, then Prabhupada gives a problem with polyandria. What is the problem with polyandria? What do you think is the problem? With one girl married to four men or five men. What was Draupadi's problem?
She can only have one man's child at a time.
No. Draupadi actually fell victim to this problem. Everybody fell down on the way back to the spiritual world, except Yudhisthira. They could have committed different sins. And Draupadi had also engaged in a sin. That was because she was engaged in polyandria.
But one of the husband more than others.
Yeah. Prabhupada says that natural psychology of a lady is to focus on one man, my daddy. Don't mess with my daddy. He's mine. Don't mess with my hubby. Don't mess with my son. Yeah? So in different stages, this is very natural, and then it's very gratifying for the female mentality just to put it all in one place and just have it there, you know, material. And this is okay, you can connect this all to Krishna. It's very natural. If you use it properly, it's very nice. Everybody has a position like that. And so he says it's very difficult then for a girl to give equal affection to her different husbands like that, you know. And so Draupadi outwardly was doing this, but in her heart she was more affectionate towards Arjuna. Even she told Bhima, what'd she tell Bhima? You're the only one who loves me. None of the other guys love me. They won't kill Gadajak for me like that. But, you know. So Bhima was, okay, I'll do it. You know. So he killed him like that. Yeah. So you see, Mahabharata is full of these stories, emotional things. And this takes us to the spiritual world, you know, through these emotional relationships, in the mode of goodness, and then finally, transcendentally. Yeah. Yeah.
Are in polygamy also that natural psychological tendency for a woman is not satisfied?
No. Probably saying a man is more impersonal. He's more like a rascal. He doesn't have this tendency, you know. He can be, you know, okay. So in some ways, more like that. He marries four sisters, and that's the way it usually works like that. The ratio of women to men in this country is 6-1. In America, it's almost 1-1. Most countries are not like that. In Peru, it's 4-1. In Bolivia, it's 5-1. In Brazil, it's 10-1. Yeah. You know, so, all, you know, 9 girls are supposed to go to hell or something. You know? No, so they're all sisters. They all marry the same guy. And Haribo, great big happy family. With, you know, guy can have 30 kids. You know, try. Sounds pretty good, huh? And it's not illicit sex. Yeah, right? It's all, after this, we start getting into licit sex, right? To satisfy these material desires, but in a Krishna conscious way like that. You know? So it's a very, very intense program for Varnashram Dharma, for Daivi Varnashram. So anyway, they married this one girl, Pramlochan's daughter or something, and then they took over. But this doesn't occur until actually in the fifth canto. You know? Fourth canto finishes off with Maharaj Prachini Bharishad taking sannyas, and fifth canto starts with Priyavrata. And all his pastimes, his descendants, down to Rishabhdev, like that, very famous, big Bhagavatam. Then after that, there's a story of, where are the, Bharata. Oh no, it's fifth canto. Story of them, his son.
Bharata.
Yeah.
Or Bharata, and then his three
sons. And he was walking around, and he met the king of the Siberians, Maharaj
Rahugana.
Yeah. And then there's a story of the forest of? Yeah, Maharaj Bharata tells Virat Rup, what is this world, to Rahugana. And then Rahugana says, I don't understand all your analogies, so he tells it again. And then Maharaj Parikha tells Sukadeva Goswami, I'm not as intelligent as Maharaj Rahugana. Even the second time I couldn't understand it. So he tells it again like that. And all these things, for example, right now one devotee, a very good devotee, Brahmachari, giving our Pada Padma course in Peru, the rumor was spreading in the whole yatra that he was talking more to one girl during the class than anybody else and laughing and looking at her. And they had a thing going like that, you know, where she's married and this and that. So the rumor came back around to him. And he was like, you know, really staunch about it. Partly because of his own reputation as a brahmachari and how can he, you know, people respect his classes if this is what character's going on. But also because the girl was being then, like her, you know, chastity was being impugned, and her husband was upset too, you know, not at him. And so then they were contacted me, and then because apparently the person that told him, who told him, was one of my disciples, and told him, look, you know, amongst ladies, gossiping is common, you know, and it gets to experience, it was soap opera, right? They talk about this and that. It's just, you know, it's natural. You know? And sometimes it just expands like that. I said, a real suspicion, if you talk to her directly, she's not going to be like malicious or anything else, but it'll be like, everybody knows, you know. So he contacted her directly, and everybody knew. Yeah. So I told him from the forest of material enjoyment, there's elephants, there's tigers, there's snakes, there's wasps, and there's a cricket. And what is the cricket? You can't find him. He keeps you awake. You can look everywhere. You can't find him. What is the cricket? Huh? It's blasphemy.
It's the envious words of others.
Yeah. Everybody in this material world is going to be unfairly blasphemed and criticized. You know, the rumor will be going around that, did you know that Madhuji eats fruit in bed? I heard that she eats fruit in bed. See, everybody knows. I mean, I remember somebody told me, but they were telling somebody else, and what she, Maya can keep you engaged for the next 5 years trying to find out where it's coming from, but you'll never find out where it's coming from. This is one of the features of the material world, right? So don't worry about it. As I told him, just try and, take care of it as best you can if there's somebody there. And you should, because people should be a little, cautious about saying things about other people like that. It should be something, you should be, a little thoughtful about this. But then at that point, give up on it. You're never going to find out what happened, like this and that, So it's very nice, the forest of material enjoyment. And that finishes off the fifth canto. But during that description is a description of all the descent of the Ganges, the structure of the universe, and how everybody's going to hell because of their fruitive activities like that. Somehow or other it's going to cause simple reaction, you're going to go to hell. So in the sixth canto, Maharaj Parikshit asks Sukadeva Goswami about, what does he ask?
Well, he said that he just described atonement. Well, why do they have to suffer in hell?
Yeah.
How can they be saved from hell?
Yeah, yeah. And he says, well, they should do pious activities. And what Maharaj Parikshit says?
So that doesn't sound right to me.
Why not?
Because they have the tendency to go on doing sinful activities even after it's like an elephant bathing and throwing mud off himself.
After he comes out again. Yeah. So he says, well, they should engage in yoga then and do meditations, austerities and things like that and become jnanis. Not karmis, but jnanis. Maharaj Parikshit says.
It said that doesn't destroy the seed in the heart.
The desire to act fruitively doesn't destroy the desire to act fruitively. So what's the solution? Maharaj Sukadeva Goswami says, very good. You're intelligent. No, the only way to uproot the seed of fruitive activities eternally is bhakti yoga. And the essence of that is? Essence of bhakti yoga. Essence of Bhagavad Dharma. Essence of devotional service, essence of the nine processes.
He gets the chanting of the holy names.
Yeah, chanting of the holy names. Like that. And so let me tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was a young man in the city of Kanjakubja, and his sadachar was completely destroyed by association with a Shudrani. So it's a story of Ajamil. Was Ajamil sinful?
Became sinful.
Yeah? Was he offensive?
No,
he didn't know what he was doing. for 60 years, something like that, he was just kind of like confused. And then he woke up like that. And it's, wow. So this temporary fall down into Maya can be for a long time. In fact, you just forget. But the second he remembered, how did he remember?
He remembered because he was chanting the name of his son.
Yeah. Why? Why was he chanting the name of his son?
Because it was past pious activities that gave him the intelligence.
But what was the material cause for his chanting? That's the efficient cause. The Yamadutas were coming to take him to hell. You guys are so transcendental. Yeah. Yeah. These guys look like the most horrible, we call it Mississippi police officers. And here's to the state of Mississippi. Yeah, really, gross guys, Phil Oaks song, Behind her bloody borders, the devil draws no line, and here's to the cops of Mississippi. It's all songs like that. You're in a heap of trouble. You're in a heap of trouble, boy. So they're terrible looking. They got warty bodies with spiny hair on them, and, they're this real... I'm in a lot of trouble.
You said fruitive activities takes one into hell.
Did
it correctly?
Yeah.
My understanding was the fruitive activities get one into the cycle of birth and death.
Yeah.
So only some type of very violent, sinful reactions would take one to perish back.
Yeah, but the material world is so designed, this bamboo forest. It's going to be a fire in the bamboo forest. Nobody starts it, but just the nature of the thing is the things are pushing together and finally creates friction. So somehow or other, I'm going to stay in the material world, but I'm always going to be good. Now, somehow you'll make a mistake somewhere, some point, and that will cause something to make you forget, and you'll just come, you'll tumble into it, and you'll go to hell. And then after that, you'll go to heaven, you know, like that. So this is kind of like, you know, staying in the level of Brahma and not being involved is very difficult. Or staying in the Brahma Jyoti and not being involved even more is more difficult. Because at some point your nature is to enjoy. Ananda Bhaya Biasats, you'll start like, you'll be agitated and stuff. You know? This is the point. Yeah. So, he chants the holy names and he becomes purified, you know, of his sinful activities very quickly. And he does some more austerities and goes to heaven. So then they go back to the Prachetas. Meanwhile, back at the Prachetas, they're underwater holding their breath. So they come out. And they have all their activities, their preaching activities. And finally, what happens? Oh, yeah, they have a son. Yeah. Who's their son? Prachetas? Daksha. Yeah, he had to be reborn again a second time because he was offensive activity. Now, what's Daksha's job in this whole thing? His whole thing exists because they're trying to get bodies for the living entities so they can express their desires. Brahma started it back down here with mental children, but that was just too slow. You know, so then he started biological reproduction with engineering with Swayambhuva and Sadarupa, speed the whole thing up, and they agreed. So we're doing it now. But the guy who was supposed to produce all these bodies is
Daksha.
But he's committed some offense and can't do his service, you know. So finally, okay, he does it again. He and Mrs. Daksha have how many kids the first time? 40,000 kids. Mrs. Daksha, keep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that Narada Muni comes down and says, you know, goes to the university and says, hey guys, look at these books. You know, look at these pictures, huh? Yeah. But you haven't seen pictures like this in school before, have you? Oh, no, mister. Yeah, look at that. You know? Yeah, take a book. You know. So they all become brahmacharis and move in the Hare Krishna temple. You know. So Mrs. Daksha and Daksha hear this and they're like, you know, shocked, and they agree, okay, we'll try again, you know. So they, what's it, they have 10,000 children next time, like that. Hari Ashtas and the Sali Office. They all go off to the university, and Narada Muni comes around again. Say, hey guys, come here. Yeah, look at these books. Yeah. Your brothers bought these books for me, like that. Oh, really? Yeah, they bought them. Yeah. Well. So they all become Hare Krishna devotees, moving the temple, you know. So when Daksha hears this, he passes out, loses unconsciousness. Then Narada Muni goes right there. Really smart, huh? Why does he go there?
To
a strategy. He has a certain strategy. He goes see his Daksha after he's meeting all his kids, being brahmacharis, you know. And what's Daksha's reaction?
He said he's called Narada Muni sinful.
Yeah.
Because he didn't let them go through the process of the Varnashram.
Tasting it. Experiencing the problem of Grihastha Ashram. And he gets angry at him. So Narada Muni shouldn't have allowed him to do that because he's committing Vaishnava Aparad. But his strategy is, he knows he's a very pious person. And even though in the beginning he'll like become irritated with me, let him get it off his chest, let him express the whole thing, and then, yeah, he'll apologize and he'll be able to listen. So it's exactly what happened. And he said, okay, I understand, you know, okay. So then Narada Muni is walking around the universe looking for, you know, mischief. He said, hey, Narada, you know, Daksha had some more kids. He said, oh, hey, okay. You know, so he goes over there, you know. On the door again. Every Sunday, right? Narada Muni can come to the temple every Sunday like that. You know, hello, you know. Hi, Daksha. You know, oh, hello, Narada. You know, come to see my new children, right? To preach to them, right? Well, yeah. Well, go right in. You know, like that. You know. Ah, whoa, a man. Whoa, ah. He comes out. So Narada's being his own crooked, and you know this and that. You know, they're all girls, Daksha. Yeah, Narada, go back in there. You can preach to them. You're tough. You're a brahmachari. You know, so, well, it's okay, Daksha. You win this time, Daksha. So he couldn't preach to them. They all married then, all the sons of, mental sons of Brahma, all these mental children who've been produced by Brahma. Then they married all the daughters of Daksha. And then from them we get horses, spiders, snakes, all these things like that. From the subtle level, this is like in a dream. In a dream, some girl may dream of having sexual relations with a snake and becoming the mother of snakes. You know, you can have a very erotic dream like that. You know, wake up, it's like, wow, it's weird. You know? Yeah. But on that level, it's not, it's real. You know, it's very real and it's very possible. So almost all, the entire Bhagavatam from here to here is taking place in the level of steam. You know? But that steam then becomes water, and the water then becomes ice on the gross level. So this is our explanation of origin of the species. They start off as conceptual, Kantian, you know, iconographic images, and these relations are very real, but then they become apsaras, kinaras, gandharvas, semi-demigods, you know, fairies, what else we got, gnomes, dwarfs, and then finally, gross level, huh? Orcs?
Orcs.
A little higher up there somewhere. There. Yeah, exactly. The same stories. Trolls. Trolls are rakshasas, seem like it for sure. And definitely gandharvas are fairies. So, they all get created. Okay, now the universe is going on. Brahma can relax. And you know, things are functioning properly. Now everybody has a body. So the seventh canto, so while it's going on, all these people are being created. Indra offends his spiritual master. He kills his guru. The guru's father produces another child to kill Indra, who is a big demon named Vritasura. Like that. So Indra has to fight with him for a long time. He's even mentioned in the Rig Veda, the story of Vritasura, you know, other Puranas like that. So finally, he's only able to do it because Vishnu helps him. So seventh canto then, Maharsh Parikshit says, hey, what about, you know, Krishna being equal to everybody, right? He took the side of the demigods against Vritasura. And so he says, well, he's equal to everybody because that's the way they wanted to approach him, right? If you approach him in anger, he doesn't like it, but he'll reciprocate with you so you can become purified. So he's equal to everybody. And he tells the story of Hiranyakasipu and Prahlad. Then he finishes off about talking about Varnashram Dharma. And that's the whole thing. I'll finish like that. So, Devahuti, Akuti, Prasuti, Uttanapada, Priyavrata, that's about it. On down there.
Rishabhdev
is in that line of Priyavrata. Yeah. And then, eighth canto, he says, what about the other 14 manus, other 13 manus? He describes all of them. Uttama mana, Pana, Tamasa manu, I forget the other names like that. And finally, we come to our manu. If you move 1 inch to the left or 1 inch to the right. Yeah. And finally, he describes an Armanu. And what's the name of Armanu?
Swambhu.
Yeah. Yeah. And so from him we have all this story, the line of the sun god, the line of the moon god. And then finally Krishna appears in the line of the moon god. Yeah. So at that point we click on the plus sign, whoop, and expands out into 89 chapters, 10th canto. And after that we go back, whoop, disappearance pastimes. And the dynasty of the of Swayambhuva after Krishna, down to Chanaka Pandit pretty much. Yeah. And then finally, glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, summary of Srimad Bhagavatam, and Markandeya Rishi. Can't figure out why he's there. You know, like that. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam, 18,000 verses in about 18 minutes like that. So it's very well organized. By hearing about these different avatars, we can finally really go into Krishna. We can actually go to the Ras Lila. Yeah. Prabhupada says, if you can understand the Ras Lila and the feelings of the gopis in 1,000 lifetimes, you are doing very well. Like that. So you only have to go, Jayananda didn't go much beyond the fourth canto, as far as I understand like that. And his name is in the Vaishnava calendar with Narottam Das Thakur. Yeah. So, okay, finished off first two cantos nicely, and then go ahead, you know, depending on your particular nature, ability. Many, many times, if you listen to like a Prabhupada's lecture on the sixth canto in Bombay or something like that, he'll talk about the verse a little bit, then he'll go right into a Bhagavad Gita class. He'll focus on something about Paramatma or something like that. He won't talk about the advanced context or stuff like that, because it's a public lecture for common people like that. Yeah, yeah. So, any questions? Comments? Okay. We have a CD. It's also here too. I have a PowerPoint show of this now. I finally did that. And it doesn't require narration. Everything's written down, so you can just read it as it goes. But this is perfect for PowerPoint. You know, little arrows move in, they move in, it has pictures like that and stuff. And it's like, and you can see very clearly how it's, you know, it's like that. And probably the verses, very, very different verses would probably confirm this. You see, he says, we may note with profit that Sukadeva Goswami has been discussing this, this, and this. But probably wasn't so, you know, fanatical about this analytical view of things, you know. And now I know. He was more concerned with the personalities and, you know, the Mayavad kind of relationship to the Mayavad philosophy, these things. the mission. So, okay, now back to the first two cantos. A little break here. Okay. How many chapters in the first canto?
19.
Okay, the second canto?
10.
Okay. Now, the preface is pretty much a chapter because it's about 30 pages. So, 30 chapters altogether. You do one a week, it's 30 weeks. It goes perfectly from Jamastami to Gorpurnima. And of course, we have our program, like that, our Padapadma seminar program with Sam Marklos. It's working really well. It's kind of organized. It's kind of going on. This is a one-hour seminar followed by another one-hour seminar before we start the whole, you know, extension course like that. And we did that in Peru, and very nice. The dean of the university was coming in and said, very good, you know, like that, you know. Very nice, very, very, very pleased, you know, with it. And so then we have about five or seven groups, you know, in the world like that, and doing this, you know, one chapter a week like that. And it's kind of organized, kind of disorganized. I haven't been able to support it as much as I could because I got involved with other things, unfortunately. I won't do it again. But my kept telling everybody, it's basically simple. Read one chapter a week. If you can't read the whole thing, just read the translations. And we give some hints for a few selected verses, okay. And then meet and discuss the thing like that. Have some prasadam. And that's it. That's the essence of the course. More than that, you can do so many things in terms of detailed stuff. You can produce DVDs. You can, graphics. You can go through on different topics like etiquette. There's so much in etiquette in these first two cantos like that. You just take that out and put in a little book about absolute etiquette. And you see, wow, it's a fact. You know? For example, insulting people in a respectable family. You see, in our community like that, certain people are more respectable because of their positions, their activities, and so you have to be very, very cautious in dealing with them. Otherwise, even a little sarcastic comment can hurt them very, very deeply. You think they don't want to do like that, you know, like that, you know. And so, you know, it's one nice project. Take out the etiquette like that, and the first two cantos, everything else like that. Wow, wonderful, huh? Prabhupada's, wow. You know, wow. Yeah, and then that it takes. So much work to do. So, but all these groups are reporting that even though it's, well, for example, in Tennessee, psychiatrist, one devotee there is a doctor. I asked him what he did. He said, well, I deal with, you know, urinary tract infections and surgery, everything to do with urine, but I don't deal with stool. I don't deal with stool. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Urine. So anyway, but they're all professional people. And so they started the group like that. They started doing it, but it was just too much for them. They were just, you know, one chapter a week, and they couldn't do it superficially. They're what you call it, obsessive personalities, like all professionals. So they had to do it like in detail. So they slowed down to one chapter a month, and now it's going great. They're so animated. They never had such a big attendance in one of these groups before. They'll drive to get there, and they made a rule now: if you're up to 15 minutes late, you pay a $5 fine. Yeah, right, yeah. But if you're up to more than 15 minutes, like 10 minutes, you know. So I hear them, I was on the phone with Igor Sunu, he said, well, I'm going to the meeting, I got to hurry, Mara, I'll talk to you a little later, but I don't be late. You know, why is that? Well, I got to pay $5 for that. He's like, well, she's making a year, you know. But it's like they set up their own system amongst their own community like that. And everybody is reporting that it's just really nice. The people who are doing it for the second year, they want to all form their own group next year and organize it. The big pundits in Lima, Karun and others, are using my materials and Borijan's and writing their own study guides like that. And people are just answering back, saying, wow, it's so good, it's nice like that. So after it's all over, we want to meet and then maybe just talk over, like, you know, the teacher's perspective and what kind of educational materials they have and then kind of make them all available so people can look at, teachers can look at different, you know, suggestions of how to do it, you know. I had to make up a test for the all 19 chapters because San Marcos wanted like a midterm examination. That was the whole thing, you know, setting it up like that. Amazing, you know, how to write it like that. What should you learn? What should you actually be getting out of it? So it's going on really well. And it looks like, I mean, I'm enthused. I want to do it next year. The Anjana Sudha Academy will support this. You know? But we're not going to support, we're only going to support one chapter a week. If you want to go like something else, we'll just, you know, casually we'll help you. But formally, yeah, we'll stick with it. And next year, too, from Janmastami to Gorpurnima, I have a program. And NEOS, our external organization, is like, you know, accrediting it. Well, like that. We'll see how I get it accredited. So it's a good program. If anybody wants to, if you meet somebody and say, well, okay, you know, you can read Nectar of Instruction, other things like that. But Janmastami, Yeah, we're going to start this program starting off, and somebody form a local group. And then you have an orientation seminar, the you know, whole thing. Now I'm ready. And then you meet every 3 weeks or something like that. Sutta to the sages, right? First few cantos. Narada to Vyas, next week's four cantos. Pastimes right after the battle's over. Son of Drona punished. Prayers by Queen Kunti for Krishna to not leave, and then finally Bhishma Dev leaving his body. Then Krishna leaves. Krishna departs for Dwarka. Krishna arrives in Dwarka. And then after, you know, that's once. That's once. That's once, right? And after, then, birth of Maharaj Pariksit. So this all happened within, like, you know, a few months. And then, pastimes. Many years later, Maharaj Pariksit is grown up. Who comes back? Dhritarashtra, Vidura comes back. And so, liberation of Dhritarashtra, disappearance of Krishna, disappearance of the Pandavas. Okay? And everything's ready for the meeting. This is all a preface to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why was the book written? Under what circumstances? Who's talking? Who's listening? Right? Okay. Finally, the meeting of Maharaj Pariksit and Sukadeva Goswami. And with Maharaj Pariksit going to die, and Kali Yuga coming. So we need a scripture for Kali Yuga, right? And who's qualified to speak? Sukadeva Goswami. Who's qualified to ask the questions? Who's motivated to ask the questions? Yeah, he's going to die. we're not talking theory anymore. You know, I really want to see if this works. He renounced everything, but he was still conscious of his body. This is not good if there's a snake bird coming, right? You know, if I told you on the way home there's going to be a hellish auto accident and the steering wheel is going to go right through your stomach, you know, I don't want to be conscious of my body when it happens. I want to have it a long way away. And oh, isn't that ghastly? Yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam is the best way to come to that ecstatic, emotional, transcendental absorption in your spiritual bhava. And so your body becomes just like a, you know, a coat. Yeah. So he did this yoga, appearing from Maharaj Pariksit. with intensity. So, meeting of Maharaj Pariksit and Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga chastised and rewarded. Maharaj Pariksit cursed by a Brahmin boy. And? Meeting of appearance of Sukadeva Goswami. And he begins his Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And he explains everything. In a few chapters. You know. But Maharaj Pariksit says, more, more, tell me more. He says, okay, I'll tell you how Brahma spoke this to Narada. More, 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 okay, I'll tell you how Vishnu spoke it to Brahma. Like that. Yeah? So first two cantos, so, you know. So right now we're here. We're in Son of Drona Punished. You're right afterwards, you know, dealing with these Kali Yuga situation like that. And Draupadi is preaching this morality and ethics to him. You know, she's giving reasons why he shouldn't do this, right? This is full of dharma, but dharma is not enough. Right? You have to know the essence of dharma, right? It's not enough to be a good person. You have to be a very good person. And not enough to be a very good person. You have to be the best person, right? Prabhupada says, perfect, more perfect, most perfect. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, you know, like that. So, I mean, George Bush, I mean, he's not acting in an immoral fashion, right? Yeah. You know, he's definitely, you talk to him, he's not going to accept that. He's saying, no, I'm acting according to strict principles of religion. I'm defending people, I'm doing this and that. So it's a whole ethical and moral thing, and discussion about what is right, what is wrong. When the first 9/11 happened, right, he said, well, this is a religious war, a holy war. He said, no, we haven't got to talk about religion. This is wrong. You can establish what's right and wrong without religion. Right? So that's Arjuna's problem. He doesn't want to talk about God as a person. He wants to just talk about religion, ethics, morality, and, you know, live a good life. So in different levels, philosophical levels. If you write articles for the newspaper and send them in, they'll print them. You know, there's a whole writer's thing about that, how to write. It's called expert opinion sometimes. Something happens, you write an expert opinion within some time, have a little qualification, you know, send it in, then it's good, they'll print it. It's a whole area there, if you want to, like, you know, a preaching area like that. Somebody just watching the news and stuff and making your commentary. So many areas. And if you know these things, then you can do it properly. You have some comment?
No, the only comment was about a Bush justifying what he's doing is good.
Yeah.
Because he bases it on the war between good and evil.
Yeah.
And says that he's acting from a perspective that he comes from faith-based, belongs to faith-based organizations.
Yeah.
And he believes in the war between good and evil. He's on the side of good.
Yeah.
And all these things in the Middle East are evil. So
yeah.
He justifies it.
Yeah. And he goes back to a Bhagavan perspective, Paramatma perspective. I'm not sure what his religion is.
Cattle ranching.
An oil digging. Like Ronnie Kashyapu. Right? Yeah. So this is a summary. And then specifically today, what's the verse? Dhrupadi's, what arguments does she give? She gives two arguments.
He's the son of his father, so he's also a Brahmin.
Yeah.
And also that his mother shouldn't suffer the way she's suffering.
Yeah. So they're good arguments, right?
Taken away.
Yeah. So then what happens next?
Krishna tells him you have to decide.
Who wants to kill him?
Krishna.
And also?
Bhima,
yeah. So Krishna has to manifest four arms. Why is that?
So he can...
Because he's trying to keep everybody from being... He has to keep Bhima over here and you destroy that. So he has to manifest four arms to keep everybody under control like that, because it's just a hot argument. And making things into dramas, it's unbelievable. And then the message just goes, it burns its way into you, like different situations like that. If you encounter situations. I mean, we preach to the karmis to become devotees, but then they come in the temple and then it's like, you know, where do we go from here, right? And we have trouble advancing ourselves because we encounter problems we can't deal with in our society, and then we fail. We have to go around like in that level until we kind of figure it out. Maybe after 25 years, But they're all here. You know, so that's why it's so important to make these things into dramas, movies. You know, write about them. You know, change the names. You know, so we have the passing away of Bhishma Dev. He did really well. It's just when you do. It's like you see this, like, wow. It's like he used the Peruvian people, the guy who plays Bhishma Dev. They don't talk, just images are walking places, sitting down, offering things, doing things like that. I wrote the narration then, which kind of goes by like that, so you can see, oh yeah, it's that. You know. So we give $3,000, which is nothing for a 15-minute movie, you know, like that. He could have Packard budgets $3,000 a minute, like that. You know. So we got some really good. But the guy is, you know, he's there. He looks like somebody, you know, who lived a honorable life. You know, can be proud now in his old age like that. You look at him, wow. You know, and he shows the, for example, it says he for some time he saw the worlds of the gods and the goddesses which surpassed those emerged from the super soul. So he has like this close up on his face, and for the bed of arrows he used like this cut some straw from the field and put it there, and it looks like. That, you know, very simple costume, very Peruvian sense to it, of the Inca and this like that. And that's why they can do these things down there, because they can feel like, you know, what it's like. So Pandavas are around him, like three of them are actually brothers, bringing fruits and flowers and sitting there and just the music's playing, the prayers are there in Sanskrit, and little tears, you know. And then he looks up and he has this image like these of like fire. And he actually is his wife with this like flowers, like kind of dancing like Durga. And he puts four arms like that by doubling it and stuff. And it's really like, you know, like celestial, you know. So Bhima's looking at it and he kind of nods his head like this and smiles and closes his eyes and turns away. Then he has this like, just some prismatic thing with this kind of thing coming out of his thing, like the super soul coming out of him, and with prismatic effects with like the legs also double. So some kind of primordial being with legs in different directions like that. Really good. He caught the idea. And then finally this all kind of merges where the music's going, you know. And it cuts to a scene of a valley. And they put a pile of, you know, much space with wood. And they started a fire, for the funeral pyre, right? So there's trees in the background. There's like this mountains and Peruvian, you know, intense Peruvian, you know, pantheistic atmosphere. And then the fire is burning like that. You can imagine what it would look like, this much wood burning like that. It's a real, like, wow, fire, you know. And the body, we saw the internal thing, now we're seeing the external thing. Then he kind of speeds the thing up, So the fire burns in the matter maybe like about 2 minutes, a few minutes, and burning down it. And then Krishna said, hey man, I want to join too, you know. So then this thunderstorm came, right? And it, you can see the clouds forming in the back, and there's like lightning behind the hills like that. And it's getting darker because it's, you know, you fit at the right time. So it's almost, it's finally when the last fire is almost burned out, it's just dark, you know. And the fire is burning in the dark. You can see the trees there a little bit. And there's this one final, this fantastic lightning flash. It goes like that. And it's finished like that, you know. So very like that, it came out nice. Then it cuts to Peruvian music, which is among the best in the world. It's just ragas like that, and some fog, and about Ganga, and her response to the whole thing like that. And she's, you know, crying a little bit, you know, like that and stuff. And, you know, well, most of the ladies, they see this, crying. Because you can see how she's feeling, because he has her son is now just a handful of ashes, so she's holding these ashes in her hand like that, and, you know, crumpling like that and stuff, and sitting there and just, you know, yeah, and a beautiful background music. On the background of some beautiful mountain lake way up there. And he did it so he has a reflection. So she appears out of the lake like that and sitting there and the music and then the background and then she goes back into the lake like that and boom, finished. You know. So much, you know. Once you, first time through, read the story, understand it, then start to get into the philosophy, you know. Because all these things have a meaning, right? You know, there's a text, but there's a purport. You know, and there's a tremendous amount here about ethics, etiquette. So what's the conclusion? It's a very difficult ethical situation. Krishna's not asking for a transcendental solution here. He's not asking for a transcendental solution. He's asking basically for an ethical solution. Right? That you should deal with this guy properly, not even in terms of his spiritual position. So what he empowers Arjuna, you know, to understand what to do properly. And what does Arjuna do?
Cuts off the jewel from his hair.
He was born with that. You know, it's pretty growing, is like that. You know? It's like, you know, we have teeth. He had like, you know, a jewel. You know? So why? How did that satisfy everybody?
Because the jewel is a representation of his Brahminical birth.
Yeah. And also his hair, too.
His long hair.
Yeah.
And severing that was as good as killing him, really, socially.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it didn't kill his body, so it satisfied Draupadi's desire to keep him alive, whereas it satisfied Bhima and Krishna's instruction that he should be killed.
Yeah.
So it, you know, it's interesting always because I always think of that in terms of how disciple has to be intelligent and not just look at instructions that the spiritual master gave and not be able to apply them in time and circumstance. Because there are certain times that, you know, like for instance, the spiritual master says, don't ever swim in that lake. And then one day you're walking by and somebody's drowning.
Yeah.
You know, and then you say, well, my guru said I can't go in there.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, it's not intelligent, it's not spiritually intelligent or material intelligent. Yeah. So you have to take, they're living instructions, and you actually have to take the instructions of your spiritual master.
There's so many stories then to make it, so you can understand it like that. You're chewing them over and over again. We should become absorbed. He's always talking about them, you know. And when you go to work, you should get people involved. Vijayananda would always say, well, my granddaddy said, my old grandpa said, like that. And everybody wants to hear what granddaddy said. Yeah, yeah, probably. But absorbing people in just these pastimes, activities like that.
Ashwatthama's hair was cut off and he was driven away and stuff.
Yeah.
Then, in a later chapter, there's this the story about the Brahmastra again coming and burning and Krishna protecting Parikshit Maharaj. Did that happen before? Because there's two Brahmastras, right?
Yeah,
There's one that Arjuna counteracts,
and
then there's one that Krishna comes into the womb of Uttara and protects Parikshit Maharaj.
Yeah.
So I'm confused about the timing, and is that the sequence.
I think it's a second one like that. I don't understand exactly how it's happening myself. I mean, there are many enigmatic things like that. But part of the thing is our strict linear time, you know, our German view of time, you know, a line, it goes one direction, every step is just the same size, there are no branches, you know, it's like, that's not the way things are. So many of the Bhagavatam stories are actually overlays you know, of like, you know, for example, is spring in the future? Or is it in the past? Yeah, yeah. So the cyclic thing is this, you know, it's all, and it's also kind of like right here now. And so it's in some ways like that. You know, you can see the results, you can see the, you know, the development, you know. So same way the Bhagavatam in time like that. For example, Sweta Varaha and Rakta Varaha, the white and red Varaha are both mentioned from previous Kali Yuga, but maybe in the previous time it was more instructive. So sometimes maybe that was going on in terms of time. You know, Varaha is fighting with Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakasipu here to save the earth, but they're the daughters of Diti, and Diti doesn't have any children until the sixth canto, right? You know, and there's, you know, so he's fighting with them before they're born. Right. Yeah. Yeah, there are problems, you know. So, I don't know this specifically, but, you know, it seems as, you know, maybe that he was angry still or something like that. Or, you know, so I don't know why. So it's a good question. One of these questions why the whole thing expands out from 4 verses into 18,000 verses. Yeah. Yeah.
But what, if his power is gone, then
he's yeah. That's also, yeah, yeah. He's supposedly in Gujarat, they say.
Where?
Gujarat. People have seen him or something. He, you know, because he has this benediction. He's Chiranjeev, like Hanuman, other people. He's not going to, you know, live long living. He's going to be alive until the next Kali Yuga. Then in the next Satya Yuga, then he will regenerate, become the father of all the future race of Kshatriyas. So it's not that Krishna's totally angry with him. He's just, he made some mistake, and Krishna's like, you know, chastising him. He's taking it in good, honestly accepting he made a mistake like that and doing his austerities, and okay, then okay. But that, it's okay. You know, you made a mistake, but, you know, basically you were right. So next Satya Yuga, you'll become the father of all Kshatriyas like that.
Ashwatthama?
Yeah, I think it's him. Described. Yeah. So, yeah, he was a very great person. You know, I mean, you know, what would you do if somebody, you know, if your father's favorite student, you had to accept that my father loves this student more than me, his own son. If that person used treachery to use the tricks that his father taught him to kill his own teacher. If you describe it that way, it's like, and the guy then a motive passion and then killed the student, killed his co-student. He might say, you know, crime, what is this? What would it be? Third degree murder or something like that? You know, Bobby would put it down there as like, it's pretty justifiable, you know, understandable. He shouldn't have done it, but it's not like it was like just a gross thing. He was, you know, he should have taken the guy to the court. And the court should have hung Yudhisthira or whoever it was, Arjuna. No, just a Ketu. Mr. Ketu? Mr. Jumna. Mr. Jumna killed Drona. Yeah, because Yudhisthira lied to him. So complicated. Yeah. So, etiquette in these situations like that. And it's usually like that. Almost every single situation you come in contact with, where there's some dichotomy, some thing, you can, if you're Krishna conscious, you can see how the whole thing can be adjusted, and everything can be satisfied like that. It's becoming, you know. And Krishna, how? Krishna's in our heart. Tesham satata.
Yogdanam, vajitam, pritipurvakam, dadami, putiyogantam.
Jainamam, upayantate. One time devotees were walking with Prabhupada and they said, Prabhupada, we were at a lecture last night with Baba Ram Das, Henry Alpert, and he was talking about how we're all God and everything else like that. And afterwards we were challenging him and asking him where he got this knowledge. And he quoted this verse, that no, Krishna within the heart, you know, enlightens him. And Prabhupada said, what did you say? And they said, well, we didn't know what to say, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, oh, you don't know, this shows you don't know the philosophy. Like that, he was chastising them, you know. He said, that verse is for initiated devotee. Right? Tesham satata yuktanam. And basically, we contact an acharya, and he puts us in devotional service. You know, get up, do mangalartik, chant 16 rounds, or bow down 5 times a day to Mecca. The acharya gives us some, so we're always engaged like that. We have association, we have a society. And then, he gives us what? Knowledge about how to come to him. You know, now we've turned to him, but now we want to go. Now he gives us the knowledge about how to go. And how does he do that? By scriptures? By guru?
In the heart.
Sanskrit? Tesham. Evanu.
Tesham evanu kampartam amaikyan javitma nashyam
Yeah, I dwelling in the heart out of compassion for them, destroyed with the shining lamp of knowledge, the darkness born of illusion. Yeah. So Chaita Guru is very important. Very important. Really, really being intuitive. You know, stop, you know, that's why our japa should be a time to be intuitive. You know? Yeah.
But the last one in this sequence,
yeah,
where Krishna is enlightening people,
yeah,
that comes after a certain stage of purification.
Well, again, Prabhupada was saying that satatai yuktanam, that's the people it's for, means initiated devotee. So you become the standard of, you know, following principles, chanting rounds, and fully engaged, then yes, it's natural. He says, jitatmana prasantasya in Bhagavad Gita. For one whose mind is controlled, the super soul is already reached. So as soon as the mind is under control, then automatically it has to accept some superior dictation. So if it's in the mode of goodness, then automatically it has a tendency to appreciate the super soul, the inspiration. Yeah, that's inspiration. That's coming from some higher source there. You know. And we confirm it externally, unlike bin Laden. God told me to kill all those people. You know, no, you should be confirmed then in terms of sadhus and the Quran, you know, like that. God told Yudhishthira to kill all those people, but he confirmed it. There's so many saintly people and everything else like that.
And afterwards, he still wasn't satisfied.
Yeah.
He felt as if, you know, even though Krishna had told him to do it,
yeah,
even though it was dharmic, everything, afterwards he said, I'm the most sinful man.
Yeah.
I'll never be purified.
And even Krishna couldn't convince him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So who convinced him that it was correct? He'd done the right thing.
Bhishma.
Bhishma. Yeah. And that's the Bhishma's Stuti, 135 pages. It's just the Shanti Parva. Best instructions on Bhavanashram Dharma and all the Vedas, apparently. So it's a great project. You know, translating, you know, editing it. You know, like that. So much. So I don't know. Now what? Or Abhi?
Bhajan.
Okay, so get our movies here. Maybe the whole thing with you.
Where can we see these movies?
Okay. What we got is from last year, which I think you saw, which is the filming of Kunti drama. Which is the filming of a drama, so it's okay if you know, it's a documentary. Then we have The Bed of Arrows, which is the actual disappearance of Bhishma Dev. And that's actually, again, was planned, just make a movie, you know, so it came out well, you know. Then we got Ravi's interview, Radhika's interview, you know, which is about the antiquity of the Vedas. And then we got this is the Padapadma. These are DVDs, and this may be a CD, which is actually the one we give to people for the orientation session. Mm-hmm. It includes the manual and all this stuff, like on DVD like that. Then you copy that. Then I have one. Where is it? Ravi Shankar. Oh, here, that's Ravi Shankar. So, yeah. This is one devotee in Bolivia did this. It's a load-in thing. It's George Harrison's thing with Ravi Shankar. Surya Mangala, Surya Mangala, Mangala Mangala, Surya Mangala, Agni Mangala, Agni Mangala, Bhavatu 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 Mangalam, Bhavadabram Dharam, Bhavam Bhavam. It's very good, it's like that, very nice, very Vedic. And so it actually, you know, it's got copyrights on it. So what he did is put images like that, and it's really, the pictures from India. Oh,
I've seen that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's on the web.
Oh, is it?
I think it's on YouTube.
Oh, okay, the whole thing?
It's on YouTube. I don't know. I don't think I watched it.
Okay, because some people have copies of it.
What the heck is this? And it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Okay.
It said George Harrison, and then it was.
Images.
And it had those images coming.
Of India?
Really beautiful images.
Yeah, he's.
Christian images. And things.
Yeah, Prabhupada. Jeff Takamara. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's great for starting a program mm-hmm. with people who don't know Vedic culture or something like that. You don't say anything. You have 500 people in the audience. You start with that, and it's like to say. Yeah, you know. Okay, what do you got to say? Yeah. So we use that.
It's copyright protected, though, right?
Well, the song is copyright,
right.
But the images aren't. Images aren't. But the thing is, actually, if you just, you know, you just kind of like don't. Maybe even If you show it in a public presentation, but don't, if it's free admission, public presentation, you don't offer any copies of the thing, are you still violating copyrights?
Yeah, you're not allowed to perform it. In fact, there was a place, there was a deli in Pittsburgh that was playing, you know, the radio in the just in their restaurant, and the ASCAP came and got them and made them pay contributions.
Wow. North Griffiths made $78 million from the one jingle.
Who did?
North Griffiths.
Murph
Griffiths. He wrote that jingle.
Huh.
Oh, just those lines. Because it's used in a lot of movies. Anybody just repeats it, they have to pay
what
the
is
royalty.
It?
The Jeopardy song.
Jeopardy.
Oh, yeah. What is that? Yeah.
He's one of the richest men in the world.
What is that one? Yeah. The $24,000 question. Yeah, $24,000 question. That one thing, yeah. What is that called? Yeah.
It's similar to that.
Yeah, copyrights. Anyway, but I suspicion in South America, it's not copyrightable. Because there, if you use it in the classroom, it doesn't go outside. Their rule is that
you could say it's a fair use. You could argue it's as a practical matter. Yeah. If it's for education, it might be a fair use. Yeah. As a practical matter, they're probably never going to.
No, George Harrison's ancestors are probably going to try and track us down. And you know. Anyway, that's what the other ones are. You can use them. Neos has the copyrights, and Neos gives you the copyrights to copy them and
sell them.
Yeah. Give me something. Such a complicated. Neos is set up to buy copyrights and buy classical literature and distribute it. Yeah, we have no students, no teachers, like that. Very simple way it's set up. You know, but it's like, it's nice. Yeah. So I can give the whole thing.
Okay,
so what it is this side. This is the game. These top three are from last year, but then there's the Bed of Arrows, Radhika's interview, Ravi Shankar, and the Padma thing.
What day do you need them back?
Tomorrow.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay. Well, the only thing is you want to show them, show one of them tomorrow at Sunday Feast. Yeah. Mother Gandharvika is making copies of these two. Actually, she has the masters. There you go, finished.
She has all the masters?
Yeah, she's making copies to distribute them like that. The only one you want to probably copy is this one, then. Maybe that one. And this one is the one we give out at the orientation seminar. This is the pot up for when the seminar.
Uh-huh.
If you pay your $250 for the seminar, you get this. And this includes the seminar manual, and I think other stuff like the graphics, the selected verses, something like that.
Yeah. That's DVD?
CDR.
CDR.
Yeah. So, we have a gift for everybody here. take one and pass them on. Your card, any card. Yeah, this is our address cards. And on the front side is our Yahoo group. You can join that and be on our mailing list. And the back is our web page, which you can memorize very easily. Jayarama! Prabhupada says, Hanuman came to the ocean and was going to go to Lanka. And he didn't know how to cross the ocean, but he didn't think about it. He just said, Jai Ram, and did it. And jumped. So, but you got to use a Internet Explorer. You got to use Explorer? Browser. Because if you use Mozilla or the other one, it won't come up properly. So you got to use the IBM, Microsoft Browser. And then we have everything. We have our address, we have our newsletter, we have our these things are also stored there. Many files are actually, we're archiving them there. Like that. Okay.
So Maharaj, I got it, so you must have sent it then.
I said to make sure you got it. You joined?
I don't know how to join, but I at least got the thing.
No, on the invitation, I sent an invitation to your address.
It was an invitation. I got all the on the newsletter.
Okay, so.
That's not it then.
Yeah, I think I sent an invitation to your address.
No, anyway. I never got that.
And you're supposed to say, click yes, I want to join this.
No, I never got that.
God.
Yeah. But I did get the newsletter. I thought that's what it said.
Maybe. What may be happening too is maybe your spam protector is set for rejecting the stuff from you. Yeah. You got to check on it because sometimes it'll be rejecting like stuff from Yahoo group. Anyway,
we get all nonsense from them all the time.
From Yahoo.
Yeah, because it comes to my bulk mail. Sometimes even in my inbox.
Yeah.
And those are all nonsense, like stock option or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Whereas this.
So what may be happening is the Yahoo group also may be going to your bulk box by mistake. Uh-huh. So you got to set it up. Anyway, the web page.
But I can't do by myself then?
Well, what happens is that, you can just go to this address and join.
This one, groups.yahoo.com.
Yeah.
This is the one, so I just
that's English.
Address, and then that will let me join?
Yeah, if you go there, it'll say this. It gives the group comes up,
right.
And it says this is so and so group,
uh-huh.
And it says do you want to join? And
okay,
you click
then
yes.
I can click on.
Then your petition
uh-huh.
comes to us.
Okay. And
then I say
then
okay.
You have to say okay.
I say yeah.
Okay. But anyways, that's the way to join.
Yeah.
Though, right?
But other than that, if you have a Microsoft browser, which most people do,
uh-huh.
Then you just go to the web page.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's nice to know.
But this way I can send you notes or something, right?
Well, yeah, because what I do
uh-huh.
is about every 3 months,
mm-hmm.
I change my address.
Okay.
And so in the newsletter.
Uh-huh, it will tell us.
Yeah.
That. Okay.
Because otherwise, I get, again, not.
You cannot respond to
yeah, 80% of the questions I get are things that are answered in the newsletter. Okay. Where are you? How's your health? What are you doing?
Yeah.
So when people, they got to get the address, they got to read the newsletter. They say, oh, he's in San Jose, his health is okay, he's giving Bhagavatam class. Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. I'll write to him later.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I'll see.
Okay.